In today's Mishnah, it's from the first and second Mishnah, from the second parak Masechta Gittin, the Mishnah begins, Hamivi get mimidinat hayam. So once again, we're dealing with a situation where a husband who's living overseas, meaning outside Eretz Yisrael, has sent a shaliach, a messenger, to deliver the get to his wife. And we've explained previously that the shaliach has to say, b'fanay nechtav or b'fanay nechtam, which is that both the get was written and signed in front of him. So just to recap, according to Rabbah, the concern is that those outside Eretz Yisrael were not expert with the laws of Gittin, and therefore the get may not have been written what's called lishma. In other words, for the purpose of this particular divorce. According to Rava, the concern is something else. That is, we're concerned that the husband later may protest the validity of the get. And we've said previously that the way to fight that protest is simply substantiate the signatures on the get, and that would be sufficient to say that we recognize these signatures and these are kosher witnesses. The concern is if this get is coming from overseas, then we will have no one around that really recognizes the signatures. So therefore we said it's sufficient to simply have this shaliach say b'fnei nechtav b'fnei nechtam. So Mishnah says, Hamibi get min atayam. So this shaliach has come with a get, and he said, b'fnei nechtav aval lo b'fnei nechtam. So he says, it was written in front of me, but not signed in front of me. Or he says, b'fnei nechtam, I saw the signing, aval lo b'fnei nechtav, but it was not written in front of me. Or b'fnei nechtav kulo, I saw the whole writing, however, b'fnei nechtam b'chetzi, only saw half of the signing, meaning only one witness I saw sign it. B'fanei nechtav chetzio, I saw half of it written, however, b'fanei nechtam kulo, but the rest of it I saw all the signing, all the situation, we say pasul. So this shaliach has to see b'fanei nechtav and b'fanei nechtav in its entirety. So let's go through why. According to all opinions, what's the issue if he didn't see the signing? According to Rava, well, the signing has to be done lishma, and the shaliach didn't see it. Well, that also fits in according to Rava's opinion as well, because the whole point of the shliach saying b'fnei nechtam is that he can, according to the Rav Chachamim, effectively act to substantiate the signing of this get. And if he didn't see it, well, it doesn't help us. What about if he saw the signing, this shliach, this didn't say b'fnei nechtav? According to Rava, again, it makes sense, because both the writing and signing has to be lishma. According to Rava, however, provided it was signed, shouldn't that be sufficient? Because again, the issue is substantiating the signatures. So the reason in this situation, according to Rava, if he doesn't say b'fanai nechtav, that it's a problem, that is because we are concerned that if he only says b'fanai nechtam, that I saw the signing, an observer or someone watching might see this case and think that it's sufficient to have a single witness to substantiate the signatures on any document. And that's not true. We normally need two witnesses. It's only in this case of Gittin that we've explained this lenience. However, once he says, b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, nechtav, sorry, that it's been written and signed, then there wouldn't be any room for confusion, because normally we don't have this concept of the concern that a document is written in front of the shaliach or a witness. So consequently, it's clear that this is an exceptional case and that we're dealing with Gittin. Before I continue, there's one other important point. If he says, I saw half of it written, we have to appreciate which half this is. There are two parts. One is the tofes, which is the normal, if you like, the form, the standard text. Another one is the toref, which is the names of the individuals and the time as well. So what the Mishnah is saying is, it's a problem if you only saw half of it written. That is when he only saw the standard text being written. However, if the shaliach that came along says, I saw half written, and it was a toref, meaning the names and the time, etc., then that would be good, because he has now seen the critical part that needs to be lishma. Let's continue. Achad omer, one person comes along and says, b'fanai nechtam, I saw it being written. Another person says, b'fanai nechtam, I saw it signed. Here we're dealing with only one of these two individuals was actually the shaliach, and somebody else has just chimed in and said that he saw either one or the other. In that situation, we say pasul, because it's only the shaliach that's believed as a single witness in this context. And since that person didn't say, the shaliach didn't say, b'fanai nechtam, then it's no different to the previous cases where he only saw one another or the other, and it's pasul. What happens, though, shneim omrim, two say, b'faneinu nechtav, we saw it written, v'achad, and one person says, b'fanei nechtam, I saw it signed. In that situation, it's pasul once again, because in this situation, we're dealing with cases where only one of these individuals is an actual shaliach, and therefore, for the same reason we said previously, it is insufficient. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's machshir, it's okay. Why? Because in this situation, there's no concern. This is where Rashi explains it, Kadi explains it here, that since if this person that's the shaliach, he says, b'fanei nechtam, I saw it, and we've got effectively two other witnesses saying, b'fanei nechtav, then we're not going to confuse this case with other cases of shtarot, because it's quite clear that what's happening is different, because we've got two witnesses saying, I saw it written, and therefore there won't be any point of confusion to try and mekayim to substantiate other contracts with one witness. Let's continue. One person says, "Befanai nichtav, I saw it written," and two people say, "Befanai nichtav," then it's kasher. Well, according to Rabbah, that's fantastic. The whole point of this exercise is that we will be able to have two witnesses to substantiate the signatures in the get, and now we have it. So therefore, that's why it's kasher. Even though there's only one individual to say Befanai nichtav, it doesn't really matter. And that's even if only one of these people, of the three that are presenting, and one saying, "I saw it written," and two saying, "I saw it signed," was the actual shaliach. However, according to Rabbah, we must explain this case, is where the person who said Befanai nichtav, the individual, he was the one that was a shaliach. So that individual who came along and says Befanai nichtav, he is believed like two witnesses, and we've got two other witnesses saying that it was signed, so therefore we've got two witnesses on both parts, it was all done lishma, and that is why Rabbah explains in this case it would be kasher. Let's now learn Mishneh Bet. Nichtav bayom v'nechtam bayom. If the get was both written and signed on the same day, or belayla v'nechtam belayla, was written at night and signed on that night, or belayla v'nechtam bayom, was written at night and signed the next morning. So according to the Jewish calendar, it would be considered the same day. In all the situations, it's kasher. However, bayom v'nechtam belayla, if however the get was written during the day, so that it's dated with the date of the daytime, v'nechtam and signed at nighttime, then we say it's pasul. Why? Because now we have a situation where the get is predated, because it's only signed at night time, let's say on the 3rd of Elul, even though it was written on the 2nd of Elul, and that's the date it has in the get. Now, why is that a problem? Why is a get muktam, a predated get, a problem? So according to the Chachamim, as explained by the Gemara, the concern is as follows. Why did the Chachamim even put a date in a get? The reason why Chachamim put a date in the get is because of what's called the Gzer Mishum Bat Ochoto. So it might be dealing with a situation where a man was married, for example, to his niece, a relative, and eventually divorced her. However, prior to the divorce, she actually had an affair, and she was caught and brought to Beit Din, which is a capital offense, she could be put to death. The concern is this uncle, considering his ex-wife was a relative who was allowed to marry, will present the get and say, "Let her go, she's free to go, because look, she was divorced, and she was actually considered single when she had this relationship with that individual, and therefore she didn't violate any prohibition that would be punishable by this considered a capital offense." And in other words, the concern is, we reasonably put a date in a get, is out of concern the uncle, who is the prior husband, will try to save his niece from being put to death, and when she's really deserving of doing so. Consequently, here, if we predate the get, which is effectively what the concern would be, then this concern is still there, because if we predate the get, again, the uncle might use this to try and save his niece from being tried by Beit Din. That's why predated gets are bad. Rabbi Shimon says, "Machshir, no, you've got it wrong. In this particular case, it was written in the daytime and signed at night, it would be fine." Why did the Chachamim, according to Rabbi Shimon, put a zman in a get? That is what's called Mishum Peirot, to explain. During the course of marriage, as we've explained, a wife might bring property into the marriage, referred to as Nechzei Maluk. This property is considered hers, and when she's divorced, she would take that property back from the marriage. During the course of the marriage, the husband is allowed to enjoy what's called the peirot, meaning any fruit that, say, grows off the land. The reason why I have to write a date in the get is that he may divorce his wife and then continue to enjoy the peirot from the land after the divorce. And if he's questioned later on, he'll say, "No, I hadn't divorced her yet." So Mishum Peirot, due to this concern that he might enjoy peirot unjustifiably, that's why they put a date in the get. Now, why, therefore, in this case, is it not a problem? Well, in this case, the reason why it's not a problem is because, according to Rabbi Shimon, as soon as the husband decides to divorce his wife, he has no longer any right to enjoy the peirot. So despite the fact, in this situation, it appears that the get is mukdam, meaning, as we said, it was only signed on the 3rd of Elul, and on the 2nd of Elul is the date that is written on it. He may have really resolved much prior to that, during the month of Av. And it was from that point he wasn't allowed to have peirot. Therefore, the fact that the date is inaccurate in this particular context is not a problem. Sha'arib Meir Omer, used to say, "Kol Agitin," when it comes to Gitin, "Shenichtavu b'yom nechtavu b'layla," any get that's a mukdam, so it was written the day with the date dated of the day and then signed at night time, would be psulim, except for Gitin Hashem. And we explain why in this situation Gitin Hashem is not a problem. But as we've already discussed a number of times, why normal contracts, we have an issue of what's called a shtar mukdam. And that is because we've got a concern that a creditor might collect from nechasim shubadin a property that has a lien on unjustifiably. So to explain, if someone lends someone else money and that person can't pay it back, any property that he owned from the time the money was borrowed, the lender has a right to collect his money due to him from that property, even if that property is sold after the time of the loan. And also there's an order, meaning land that was sold later on, he has to collect first prior to land that was sold, say, closer to the time of the loan by the borrower. So therefore, the timing and the documents are critical, because firstly, the order in which he can collect the money from, in terms of which of the purchasers can he collect the land from, there's going to be an order. And also, it might be concerned regarding that really, if, say, the loan was backdated, that some land was purchased from the borrower prior to the loan even occurring, and the lender might pull out the document that's backdated and say, oh no, this land was purchased after the loan and I have a right to collect from it. So that's why with other contracts, the time is critical, and backdated loans would be a problem. Those are the Mishnah today.